We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
And now New Galaxy Broadcasting presents Inalienable and Free, Voice of the Coalition, a program addressing the grave challenges to human and citizen rights in America and the rest of the world. How can we, the people of Earth, take back the power and privileges granted to us by God and address so significantly in the Declaration of Independence? Our rights are inalienable, that is, given by God and incapable of being taken away from or given by another. These rights are the basis of liberty, the foundation of all life and happiness. The Coalition of Planetary Empowerment is an organization designed to give its members tools and information to empower them personally, in relationships and in business and employment, but also to give them a voice and the ability to help transform political and corporate governance to support the true needs and desires of people throughout the world. Inalienable and Free focuses on the need for government and corporate business interests to be responsive to the will and desire of their constituents and consumer shareholders.
My name is Johnny Bluestar. I'm the host of Inalienable and Free, Voice of the Coalition. The title of today's show is The Trumpets of War Resound Again in Syria. In this program, we will retrace a few things leading to the momentous announcement made on May 8th when Trump announced that he was withdrawing from the Iranian nuclear agreement. But before we go backwards to retrace these steps, let's take a look at some things that related to the Syrian crisis. Let's look at what just happened. A massive strike on Iran-connected military targets in Syria by Israel after a rocket attack at the Golan Heights. Iran's Quds Force, special forces related to the Revolutionary Guard Corps from Iran, were blamed for this attack. Both countries, however, claim the other fired the first shot, the Syrians accusing the Israelis of targeting Quneitra, the Syrian town, with missiles and artillery. Some commentators have noted that some Syrian officials claim that it was their forces, not the Iranian Quds, who tried to strike the Golan Heights. What followed was a tremendously powerful military intervention by Israel. 4 hours of furious Israeli jets targeting 70 Iranian-connected targets. This came a little over a day since Trump announced the U.S. withdrawal from the Iranian nuclear agreement. This kind of Israeli attack on this scale had happened, but that was decades ago. As Avigdor Lieberman, Israel's defense minister, said, quote, "We nearly hit all the Iranian infrastructure in Syria. They need to remember that saying that if it rains on us, it'll storm on them. I hope we finished this episode and everyone understood." The Israeli strikes, as described by the Israeli army, included various intelligence systems, posts connected to the Quds Force, including their logistic headquarters in Kiswa, somewhat north of Damascus, but also munition storage warehouses at the Damascus International Airport, and various munitions, military posts, and observation sites. As Netanyahu said, the international community should prevent the establishment of the Iranian Quds Force in Syria. We must untie to cut off the arms of this expanding evil there and everywhere. And he continued, "I repeat, whoever harms us, we will harm them many times over, and whoever prepares to harm us, we will harm them first. That's what we did, and that's what we will continue to do." Well, that's like an eye for an eye changed to an eye for seven eyes, and a tooth for a quarter of the teeth that you have. In my opinion, incidents like this breed even more possibilities and escalation. But all this rests on the massive failure of most of the leaders of the world to heed the core spiritual truths that could so easily transform us into a peaceful planet. So I want to talk about core spirituality for a moment. In all religions, no matter what the internal contradictions in their scriptures and traditions, there are core spiritual teachings which unite all mankind into one potentially great and righteous family. Jesus expressed it when he said the Ten Commandments can be boiled down to two: love the Lord thy God, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I'm not saying that this is, you know, this is a broad view of who Jesus is and what he was saying, because I believe this applies to Buddhists and Muslims and Taoists and all kinds of people from different religions and ethnicities. They should love God and should love thy neighbor as thyself. That's what I call core spirituality. I go further and say that every man and woman on earth is enjoined to find a connection within themselves, the connection which was the foundation of Jefferson's phrase, all men are created equal and endowed with certain inalienable rights. That truth, whether the father founders who phrased it, understood, or applied it properly, is grounded in a divine connection that is accessible to all human beings, in my opinion. You could rephrase it and say, all men are created equal and are endowed with certain inalienable rights, and among those are the ability to make the divine connection that will lead them to the foundation of all righteousness and the reason that the human conscience is a mirror of righteousness inherent in the experience of the divine presence, unfettered by dogma or unneeded assumptions about what the connections mean. Although, of course, we need leaders of real conscience, further, we need leaders of real consciousness, the consciousness of God's presence and a link to the unfettered ability to guide our actions in light of the greater good. Well, we're going to get back to the, quote, real world for a moment, and let's remember years before the announcement that was made to withdraw from Iran and before he was elected, this is what Trump said, N16.
Donald Trump sat down with Bill O'Reilly for a hilarious interview about his presidential run, and he said something already disqualifying on the issue of foreign policy.
But this is like the lightning round here. You just tell me how you're going to solve these problems. ISIS. How are you going to defeat ISIS?
I would hit them so hard. I would find our proper general. I would find the Patton or the MacArthur. I would hit them so hard your head would spin. Now remember, and I sent you the document, I said in 04 we should not go in and do that whole thing with Iraq. It was a disaster. Because I said that Iran will take over and it'll totally destabilize the Middle East. But there's nobody bigger or better at the military than I am.
Are you telling me you're going to send American ground troops into Syria?
I'm not telling you anything. And the reason I'm not is because if I run and I win, I don't want them to know the game plan.
Okay.
Let me
but
just
you
say
have
something.
To, you, Bill, if you want to hit them hard,
I'm probably going to have to say I have a way that would be very effective with respect to ISIS. But when I watch Obama get up and talk about in 2 weeks we're doing this and in 3 weeks we're doing that.
Put American ground troops in to chase them around?
Take back the oil. Once you go over and take back that oil, they have nothing.
But how do you take it?
You know, right, you have to go in. You have to go in.
With ground troops.
Well, you bomb the hell out of them and then you encircle it and then you go in and you let Mobil go in and you let our great oil companies go in. Yeah. Once you take that oil, they have nothing left.
Could that be more specific? Of course, Trump does say many specific things that he withdraws suddenly, sometimes in days. But still, although we can give him a break, he has made the attempt to fulfill promises or claims like the border wall, the withdrawal from the Paris Agreement, attempt to halt immigration from many Muslim countries, the annihilation of Obamacare, deportation of undocumented immigrants, the movement of the embassy to Jerusalem, which is coming up this Monday. So let's not forget what he said. He basically said, we need to go after the oil. We should have done that in Iraq, and we should do it here in Syria. In a recent show, we quoted RT's presentation about a certain oil company that had begun active drilling in the Golan Heights and have, according to some sources, made an enormous find. Drilling began several months ago. Let's listen to N15.
New Jersey-based Genie Energy is digging for oil in Syria, even though it clearly violates international law under the Geneva Convention. You don't have to dig too far to find out how this genie clawed out of its oil barrel. First, the reason it violates international law. Genie Oil has been granted permits to drill in Syria, not by Syria, but by Israel. That's because they're going to dig in the region of Syria known as the Golan Heights, which is occupied by the Israelis now. That occupation itself violates international law, and the drilling specifically violates the annex to the Fourth Geneva Convention. So Israel's right to dig there is hotly contested, and yet that's exactly what's happening with Genie Oil. Now for the reasons they're getting away with it. Heading up the effort is a man named Effie Eitem. He's a former Israeli military commander who has said, in an actual speech, We cannot be with all these Arabs, and we cannot give up the land, because we have already seen what they do there. Some of them may be able to stay under certain conditions, but most of them will have to go. So this anti-Arab Israeli is heading the charge for Genie Oil to drill in Syria. He makes for a powerful force to drive the drilling forward, but his cohorts are even more powerful. Because Genie Oil investors include none other than Dick Cheney, Rupert Murdoch, Lord Jacob Rothschild, ex-CIA Director James Woolsey, ex-Secretary of the Treasury Larry Summers, ex-Governor of New Mexico Bill Richardson, and other ex-members of American government. They are all invested in Genie Oil, and they all stand to profit big time for drilling in the already ravaged Syria. So it should come as no surprise that the project is moving along nicely. Genie just finished the flow testing phase and is now analyzing samples from their drilling site. So, instead of putting money and food and help into Syria, these Western billionaires and their government cohorts are taking oil and money out of Syria. Apparently, there will be no putting this greedy genie back into its barrel.
Well, what follows now is a very non-mainstream view of what all this is about, specifically this company and the Golan Heights, which has just been supposedly attacked by rockets by Iranian associated forces. This company is real, as previously described, and the following is an alarming speculation of what this means. It basically describes a reason for entertaining a war for conquest, as Trump described. Let's have N13.
Now, before we can get into the significance of what I found here, we need to provide some background information for context. And we're going to start back in 2009 when Qatar proposed a pipeline plan to Assad in order to send its natural gas into Europe through Saudi Arabia, Syria, and Jordan. Now, Assad refused this offer in order to, quote, protect the interest of its Russian ally, which is Europe's top supplier of natural gas. So Assad essentially just said thanks, but no thanks. And then 1 year later, Assad began negotiations for another pipeline plan, only this one is going to carry Iranian gas to Europe across Iraq and Syria. And of course, if this were to be built, Europe's dependence on Russia is going to continue, and that is in Assad's best interest. Now, here, many journalists have correctly pointed out that the U.S.-backed Qatar-Turkey pipeline into Europe is in direct competition with, and in fact in direct conflict with, the Russian-backed Iranian-Syrian pipeline into Europe. And this has led many to speculate that this current proxy war in Syria right now has everything to do with maintaining the flow of gas and energy into Europe through these particular pipelines. But what I have discovered here paints a bit of a different picture, because according to my research, the X that marks the spot, so to speak, is not here, but it is in fact down here in a region known as Golan Heights. This is on Syria's land, but two-thirds of it is occupied by Israeli forces, and here's where it gets interesting. In 2013, a company called Genie Oil and Gas was granted exclusive oil and gas exploration rights to this 153 square mile radius here in the southern part of the Golan Heights, and this was granted to them by none other than the Netanyahu government. And as it turns out, in 2015, it was discovered that this Israeli-occupied Golan Heights in Syria has more oil and gas than Saudi Arabia does. Guys, this is huge, because you can now officially add Israel into the mix when it comes to potentially sparking World War III, all because of oil in Syria.
It's really interesting that we talk about oil, but we're also talking about a pipeline, this little pipe, of this little column of metal that travels through countries, is really one of the key things that's critical to the success of having the oil. And whether or not this is true about the Golan Heights find, no doubt that company is there looking for oil, whether it's Some have said this is as big or bigger than the amount of oil that Saudi Arabia has. Now, I have no idea if that's true. But even if it isn't true, you still have these other pipelines and this other desire to get the oil. And it's funny how we are willing to sacrifice the peace of our planet so that we can get the oil and also we can build these incredibly expensive military machines that are so dangerous to our survival. And we shouldn't forget in all this stuff that's going on is that Iran is an ally of Syria, but also Russia is. And there could be some great problems if things don't work out. Netanyahu recently went to Russia to gain a certain amount of support, but I don't think he actually gained anything particularly. But he certainly has a lot of support from the United States. I want to remind everybody that this is a talk show. Our number is 888-429-5471. Please keep your questions and comments connected to the theme of the show, which is the trumpets of war resound again in Syria. So here we are again. Call us at 1-888-429-5471. Now, here's a message about how we at New Galaxy help our clients create original screenplays, followed by a clip of a truly poignant song I wrote as a lyricist with music composed by Edgar Ahrens and sung by Patricia Welch. C11 and M12. This is Johnny Bluestar, CEO of New Galaxy Enterprises, a media content development company. Initially, I wanted to be a playwright, but once in college, I fell in love with movies and have been writing my own and for clients for many years. No, I'm not entrenched in Hollywood. But I think if you look at my samples, you can determine if I can capture the drama and power of your idea. I'm up to refining your work to professional quality. I've worked on dramatic films, comedy, science fiction, documentaries, and even musicals. I have several books published now that are the beginning of book and film franchises. To learn more about New Galaxy, see samples of our work, or talk to us about your project, please go to www.newgalaxyenterprises.com and fill out the contact form. So I think that phrase, Desperate Games, which is the name of the song, kind of applies to what's going on now. So people are desperate to start fights and to protect themselves and to go through all these incredible expenses and cost of life and liberty in order to accomplish what? The problem is that all of this is always being played now, especially in a place like Syria, on the danger of starting a nuclear war. And a nuclear war can be started by just almost a handful of people. Recently, as an example, Lieberman, the defense minister, and Netanyahu have the right to declare war themselves. They can declare war. Maybe they did declare decide to make these incredible number of attacks on the Iranian posts there. I don't know. But that's a small number of people. The Knesset can also do it. The Congress can do it. In our country, the Congress can do it. But basically, in a pinch, Trump and a few handful of other people are involved in starting a nuclear war. And I imagine the same with Putin. This is not a very good thing to be involved with. And I think that the question is, which is a really, bold question, is can we somehow, by people together of conscience and consciousness, aggregate ourselves in such a way that the power of this contact will change things? One of my favorite quotes is, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all else will be granted unto you." And I take that to mean the kingdom of God, the experience, and I want to underline that word, the experience of the presence of God. That is a tangible experience. It's not just believing in something. And I will say this, it has one of the categories or qualities of this experience is its righteousness, its sense of all goodness. And so if one experiences a form of consciousness, even in prayer, however one achieves it, and it's not has that sense of righteousness, then maybe it's not really the presence of God, but maybe it's sort of like it's sort of experiencing God through the filter of the ego. And that filter of ego can be very vast, because people have done terrible things in the name of God, like, for instance, the Crusades or the Inquisition. How many wars have been waged between one culture and another in the name of God? Hindus versus Muslims in India during the time when the partition was taking place was pretty awful and pretty violent. And now we have other aspects of our world, which is exploding with contradictions and problems, and we need to get into this place. And the question is, if we get enough people in this place, will it change things? Because I can say for sure that when you experience the divine presence, it has an effect on personality. It seems like it's like a magnet that touches, you put underneath a paper and you pour on some iron filings and a pattern occurs. And there is a pattern within us based on the different centers or psychic centers or chakras that are involved with great influence about what our personality is like. And that's why a person experiencing this who is an addict or, alcohol or drugs can be actually instantaneously cured, like Bill W. Sometimes people are healed in very remarkable ways where their actual bone structure or the structure of their veins and arteries are actually changed. And so there is something to this. I believe that healing occurs both psychologically and it occurs physically sometimes. But the thing about being here on Earth is we're here to listen, to be guided, but to make choices that will be nurturing and good for us and other people and perhaps the planet, or choices that will take us down a strange hill, because this hill at the very bottom has the nuclear winter going on in full force. So anyway, getting back to nuclear considerations, Let's talk about the consequence when Trump exited the Iranian nuclear deal in N20.
Update the world on our efforts to prevent Iran from acquiring a nuclear weapon. The Iranian regime is the leading state sponsor of terror. It exports dangerous missiles, fuels conflicts across the Middle East, and supports terrorist proxies and militias such as Hezbollah, Hamas, the Taliban, and Al-Qaeda. Over the years, Iran and its proxies have bombed American embassies and military installations, murdered hundreds of American service members, and kidnapped, imprisoned, and tortured American citizens. The Iranian regime has funded its long reign of chaos and terror by plundering the wealth of its own people. No action taken by the regime has been more dangerous than its pursuit of nuclear weapons and the means of delivering them.
Well, that's very serious. And it's funny how the world reacted to this particular claim. Now, what he did was he followed, this happened a little bit early because it was supposed to be on the 12th. And it followed the very impressive discussion by Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, when he was unfolding all the bad things that Iran had lied about. The problem was that a lot of people felt, a lot of people throughout the world felt that all that was known. It was known that originally they were lying about it, and that's why eventually we made the deal, because we found out and everybody knew that they were lying, and they knew they were lying, and it was time to actually make a deal. The deal was probably not great, but it was a foundational deal, and most people feel, many people feel, that they actually are not building these weapons. There was nothing really in Netanyahu's delivery that proved that they were. It did prove that they were keeping files about their nuclear experience, but I don't think that that was unexpected. But what was expected was that at least somebody would follow their point of view, and the most significant person did, which was Trump. But let's hear the entire sort of panoply of how the world reacted to Trump's exit in N21.
Donald Trump's decision to withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal has sparked a wave of protests in Tehran. Furious demonstrators burned the Stars and Stripes and photos of the US president. There was even a similar protest inside the country's parliament itself. MPs burned the US flag right there in the chamber with vocal support from fellow lawmakers. Apart from quitting the nuclear deal, Trump also vowed to impose the toughest sanctions on Tehran.
I am announcing today that the United States will withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal.
The agreement meant to restrict Iran's nuclear energy program, the crowning achievement of the Obama White House, has finally been terminated by the Donald.
Today's action sends a critical message. The United States no longer makes empty threats. When I make promises, I keep them.
But how much impact is this really having? Only one country, the United States, is withdrawing, and Iran doesn't seem particularly worried.
I have ordered the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to negotiate with and lobby the European countries, as well as Russia and China, and to carry out the necessary coordination with them.
Russia and China are ready to keep things going as is. So are key allies of the United States and the European Union.
The European Union is determined to preserve it. We expect the rest of the international community to continue to do its part to guarantee that it continues to be fully implemented for the sake of our own collective security. Together with the rest of the international community, we will preserve this nuclear deal.
Well, so you see that all the European nations are alienated, and they're trying to figure out what to do, because actually, with various things that he's done with trade and with our trade agreements, this thing that he's doing with threatening other countries who don't cooperate with the sanctions could be threatening a lot of the stability of the world's trade, including our key allies. And so a lot of companies are going to have to decide what's going on unless he changes his mind, which I really feel is probably impossible. It's not that some of the points he makes about the and other people have made about the inspections and more surveillance, and it's not that all that is so bad, but it's just that it shouldn't be done by getting rid of the agreement. It should be done by somehow building on the agreement. And a lot of this has to do with the way that this was been set up. You have Netanyahu making this speech, then you have Trump withdrawing just shortly afterwards, and then immediately, within an hour or so, you have an attack on the Iranian bases by Israel. Well, I hear we have a caller. What's going on? Is Andy Miller?
Hi, Johnny. I've been listening, and a lot about this disturbs me, but the one thing that disturbs me the most was watching Netanyahu's presentation, which was in English, clearly directed toward either the U.S. or Trump, and he misquoted the trove of secrets. He misquoted the trove of secrets that claimed that Iran had a secret nuclear program. They did before the agreement. Then the White House parroted, they released a statement saying, Iran has a secret nuclear program. Then they amended it later to say had. And I'm not sure whether it was a purposeful mistake or we were being fooled. But
a little more serious than a grammatical mistake in his tweets.
Right. I don't believe in coincidences. When what bothered me about it is it reminded me of the Gulf War all over again. Now, what you said about divine... I'm going to use the word awareness because the words of God and divine have been misused for political purposes. I think of it as being always aware, and whether you get to an awareness through a physical pattern of chakras or whatever your path, we need to be aware and listen carefully when we hear these things and ask ourselves not just the words, what are they saying, what are their vocal tones, why are they saying it? If we as people divine their true motives, then their attempts at a blatant propaganda fall flat, and then we as a collective whole can begin to act. I was amazed at how simplistic and blunt that was. I really felt like my intelligence was insulted at how obvious that pandering was.
Yeah. Well, you know, in terms of this experience that I was talking about, the actual monitoring of things like the chakras and so forth, that's not really the key thing. The key thing is the experience of this sense of righteousness, of goodness, in the experience of higher awareness. And
well, I want to be careful. I want to be careful about the use of the word righteousness, because as you said, that can be, the concept of righteousness can be misused. I prefer to think of it as rightness.
Well, Andy, you know, I'm just quoting, a translation from the Bible. You're right. I mean, a lot of these words, as Wittgenstein said, the meaning is the use. And a lot of these words have become cliched, or they fade into multiple other meanings, which maybe the original person didn't, understand in that way.
I'd love to hear the original Bible in Aramaic. That would be fun.
Yeah, it would be interesting. Anyway, let's listen to another person's.
Thank you very much for joining with us. President Trump's speech today was the latest in a series of reckless decisions that move our country closer to armed conflict. By reimposing nuclear sanctions on Iran and withdrawing from the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, otherwise known as the Iran Nuclear Agreement, President Trump has put our nation on a dangerous path. We should understand that the JCPOA is not just an agreement between the United States and Iran, but one negotiated alongside other members of the international community, including the United Kingdom, France, and Germany, along with China and Russia. The United Nations Security Council also endorsed it. Trump's decision isolates the United States from our most important European allies, who all continue to support the agreement and have consistently said that it is in their own national security interests to see it upheld. With today's announcement, President Trump has also ignored the public statements of his own national security officials, like Joint Chiefs Chairman Dunford and Defense Secretary Mattis, both of whom have repeatedly said that staying in the agreement is in the national security interests of the United States. This agreement is supported by an overwhelming consensus of national security experts around the world. And I would note that includes Israel. Last month, 26 former top-ranking Israeli military and security officials signed a letter urging the United States to maintain the agreement, stating unequivocally that the deal is working and that a U.S. decision to pull out would undermine not just U.S. security, but Israel's security as well. These Israeli security leaders wrote, and I quote, "The consensus among military and intelligence agencies around the world, including Israel's own defense community, is that the pact is working. Israel's security interests would be served best if the United States chooses to remain in the agreement and work with its allies and other parties to the agreement on further diplomatic actions to address other aspects of Iranian policy in the Middle East." End of quote. Withdrawing from the agreement could not only free Iran from the limits placed on its nuclear program, it would seriously harm the United States' ability to negotiate future non-proliferation agreements, such as one with North Korea. Why would any country in the world sign such an agreement with the United States and make the necessary concessions if they thought that a reckless president might simply discard that agreement a few years later?
Well, there you have one of our more positive voices in many ways. And someone whose voice is consistent with what many, many people throughout the world have been thinking. But we're going to take a break now for a second. We're going to be playing something about a book that I helped write with a crime fighter and Korean War veteran, and something about our mission as a company, New Galaxy Enterprises, B1 and C2.
Boots in Manhattan is a coming-of-age novel by Ray Boylan and Johnny Bluestar. It is about a young Tom Boots Raymond who grows up in New York in the 1940s, who is a member of a street gang.
My friends and I were about to start our own game of stickball when Rabbit Lacey, the head of the Rattlers, came up to us and tried to move in on our game. We were called dwarves, the youngest members of this stupid gang.
Hey, Kevin, I need you to get some gloves and some stuff I left at my place.
No, this is our game.
Hey, are you my good little dwarf or what?
You've been calling me a dwarf since I was 6. We're not your personal slaves, pal.
Hey, what is this? A dwarf rebellion? All right, big guy. We ditched the dwarf thing. We make you guys regular rattlers.
No, it's too late.
He looked at Jay and me. We looked away. Rabbit was now angry, and he pushed Kevin hard with the palms of his hand. Kevin tried to ram him in the stomach, but he stepped aside, throwing Kevin into the curb where he fell to the ground, bleeding profusely at the knee. Still, he managed to get up.
My street.
Kevin shouted at Rabbit, pointing at him with an angry index finger.
Find out more by Googling Boots in Manhattan, a 1940s coming-of-age novel, part one of the novel series The Foot Soldier by Ray Boylan and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Boots in Manhattan, Ray Johnny Kindle. That's Boots in Manhattan, Ray Johnny Kindle.
My company, New Galaxy Enterprises, is a California corporation specializing in the creation of media and promotional content. We are focused on original, innovative projects that are good for humanity. These projects could be nonfiction books or novels, fictional screenplays or documentary content, websites and website content, commercial advertising content for print, audio, or video products on the internet, television, or radio, musical scores for advertising, television, or film, video, audio editing, etc. We want to promote products and projects that support the environment, encourage a healthy experience in living, developing, nurturing, and useful technology, and offering platforms for positive, socially constructive entertainment or informative, transformative media. Our experience in creating a variety of products like this is rather vast, and we offer client-based and collaborative products, as well as the opportunity of active investors to join us in the creation and promotion of proprietary products, some of which are in latter stages of development. For more information, go to www.newgalaxyenterprises.com. That's www.newgalaxyenterprises.com. If you're interested in talking to us, just fill out the contact sheet and we will get back with you.
You know, we began our discussion today with a clip of Trump's pre-election proposal for what he would do about Iran. What do you do about Syria? But now let's go back all the way to 2007 to a rather famous narrative by General Wesley Clark on N22.
Because I'd been through the Pentagon right after 9/11, about 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the joint staff who had used to work for me. And one of the generals called me and he said, "Sir, you got to come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, "No." He says, "We've made the decision. We're going to war with Iraq." This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, "We're going to war with Iraq. Why?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I guess they don't know what else to do." So I said, "Well, did they find some information connecting Saddam to Al-Qaeda?" He said, no. He says, "There's nothing new that way. They just made the decision to go to war with Iraq." He said, "I guess it's like we don't know what to do about terrorists, but we got a good military and we can take down governments." And he said, "I guess if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail." So I came back to see him a few weeks later, and by that time we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, "Are we still going to war with Iraq?" And he said, "Oh, it's worse than that." He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper, and he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today. And he said, "This is a memo that describes how we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran. This is a memo that describes how we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq."
My fellow citizens, at this hour, American and coalition forces are in the early stages of military operations to disarm Iraq, to free its people, and to defend the world from grave danger.
And then Syria.
We had a chance to talk about a wide range of international issues, including the situation in Syria. And I have to say that all of us who've been seeing the terrible pictures coming out of Syria and Homs recently recognize it is absolutely imperative for the international community to rally and send a clear message to President Assad that it is time for a transition, it is time for that regime to move on, and it is time to stop the killing of Syrian citizens by their own government.
Lebanon.
They both had different reasons, the State Department and the White House, for wanting Israel to do it, encouraging them to do it, supporting them. Our Air Force worked very closely with the Israeli Air Force for months before this, not necessarily with a deadline, knowing when it would happen. It was always going to be whenever there was an incident, they would take advantage of an incident. The word I used was fortunate timing. When Hezbollah grabbed some of the Israeli soldiers in early July, that was then a pretext, I think that's the only word, for a major offensive that had been in the works a long time.
Libya.
Today we can definitively say that the Gaddafi regime has come to an end. The last major regime strongholds have fallen. The new government is consolidating the control over the country. And one of the world's longest serving dictators is no more.
Somalia.
Well, violence isn't only on the rise in Afghanistan. In fact, it looks like America's shadow wars have now increased
by one. Drone strikes have long been reported in Pakistan and Yemen, but now there's news that a week ago, a U.S. drone aircraft fired on two leaders of the Somalian organization Al-Shabaab.
Sudan.
President Obama is sending 100 combat-equipped troops to Central Africa to advise local forces on getting rid of one of the continent's most vicious operatives, Joseph Kony, the head of the Lord's Resistance Army, a group responsible for atrocities across the region. It's the first open deployment of U.S. ground combat power to Africa since the Black Hawk Down incident in Somalia in the 1990s that killed 18 troops. U.S. troops may wind up now in Uganda, South Sudan, the Central African Republic, and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. It's part of a growing military effort to engage in Africa.
Finishing off, Iran.
Well, speaking of Iran, let's play N24, which about what happened right after Trump's exit speech. N24.
Reported Israeli strike overnight killed 15 people at a Syrian base near Damascus. Eight of those deaths, more than half, are Iranian-financed Shiite militia members, according to a monitor. Here's new video of that deadly attack just into the I-24 newsroom. State media says that the country's air defense systems intercepted two Israeli missiles, but several others penetrated their targets. The target reportedly a depot of Iranian missiles. Israel, as usual, not confirming or denying an attack, but the attack came right after Israel identified, quote, abnormal movements of Iranian fighters in Syria. And the IDF this morning announcing that the Golan Heights is no longer under direct threat, despite those irregular movements of Iranian fighters over the border. The IDF says residents can now return to their daily routines. School is in session. Last night, Israel's commanders of the IDF asked authorities in the north to open community bomb shelters. And even some IDF reservists and specialized units were called up. Our correspondent, Pierre Kloschendler, reports now from the Golan Heights.
Normalcy is a relative state of affairs after last night. Schools have opened as usual, but reservists have been called up from the home front command, from the intelligence and air defenses of the state of Israel. And yet also shelters, public shelters have been opened. A first in 7 years of war in Syria. And these shelters, although they remain unoccupied, people are fearing that what may come next will change their daily life because they understand the pressure around them, the confluence of two issues which seems to gather around them in great pressure. First, the issue of the Iranian deal, and second, the Iranian military presence in Syria, which Israel won't tolerate, whatever price they may have to pay.
And then the rockets were fired at Golan Heights. Let's hear that, and let's hear that on N25.
This is CNN Breaking News.
We have breaking news coming into CNN. The Israeli military says Iranian forces on the Syrian side of the Golan Heights fired rockets at Israeli targets tonight. Let's go to our Pentagon correspondent, Barbara Starr. Barbara, what are you hearing?
Good evening, Wolf. This happened a short time ago. Israeli Defense Forces confirming that they logged 20 missiles from Iranian Quds forces fired into northern Israel in the Golan Heights. Go back a minute. Iranian Quds forces. That is critical here to what is happening. These are forces of the Iranian regime. They are the most militant forces of the Revolutionary Guard of Iran, which already is the most, shall we say, militant element of the Iranian forces. So you have a good deal of concern emerging here. 20 of their rockets fired into northern Israel. The Israeli defense system known as Iron Dome firing back. Israelis tonight warning they may take further action against Iran.
Will our egoistic attachment to money, land, power, and our own unique and superior identity keep us from achieving true freedom and peace on earth? Will we ever claim the inner riches within ourselves and our true connection to the Creator? That is the fight we need to be in. Fight against our lower nature and the possibility of bridging the gap between where we are now and a world of beauty, harmony, and the truly miraculous. Thanks, Don Newsom, for his continual help on overseeing our programs as he's doing today, and to his brother Doug for for helping us with working with the BBS radio, which is an amazing, amazing group of radio stations. Of course, we thank Hassan Khan for his help in all things related to New Galaxy Enterprises, Lynn the Mystic Healer for her amazing contributions to the Coalition for Planetary Empowerment. We'll go out with a kind of upbeat song called The Best Things in Life Are Free, an older version, which we should think about all the time because they are. And that doesn't include nuclear weapons and tanks and all these other things that we seem to be preoccupied with producing. And so we're going to say goodbye and then go out with The Best Things in Life for free. Thanks for joining Dr. Rodier and I on Inalienable and Free, Voice of the Coalition. As we go about developing our new organization, the Coalition for Planetary Empowerment, we hope you will consider the importance of taking part in the electoral processes of your government and asserting the rights you have to vote for the companies you respect and love by casting your ballot as a shareholder or as a consumer with what you buy. We hope soon to make this possible through a social network responsive to your needs to dialogue about your rights as a citizen, but also to be able to effectively act in concert with like-minded colleagues to find representatives of government and business executives who will hear your voice and appreciate your message. See you soon.
Flowers in spring, the birdies that sing, the sunbeams that shine.